You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Ah, look what the wind blew in. Yeah, it's the Gym Class on a Tuesday. Coming to you from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Mark Dukes and Isaac Alzinga with you today for the next hour, talking sports. We're going to be visiting with Cal Eldred, former Major League player and pitcher, on news of the day. Certainly you've heard it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about trades that have happened, trades that might be, some of the races and whatnot. At the bottom of the hour, we'll give you an opportunity once again to enter our Time for Football contest. Again, that coming up at 3:30. As always, you can interact with us, 319-366-1600. I encourage you to use the text line today. Isaac Alzinga using on this side of the glass today, out of his producer seat. But pleased to have him. Isaac, I kind of kid about the wind. I understand it was very substantial last night, 80,
oh, yeah.
90 miles an hour. I slept through it.
I did wake up, I want to say it was like 3 or 4, but I didn't notice anything too bad. But so hopefully nothing too bad over here. I'm sure there's some maybe more northern, more central parts that got hit a little bit harder, but I didn't notice anything too bad around where I live in Iowa City.
Yeah, western Iowa, talking about 90 to 100 mile an hour winds, and that's just not good.
That's a little bit more than I think we saw last night.
Also coming down the line last night was the news that you've undoubtedly heard about Ryan Sandberg passing away at the age of 65. Unfortunately, a lot of folks anticipated this news coming. You're never ready for it, but Sandberg did die at his home at age 65. The Cub great, former Phillies player and manager. A lot of national folks weighing in on this today. Some of his former players I know on MLB Network, Sean Dunstan, among others, weighing in on Ryan Sandberg. And I know a lot of discussion this morning on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Todd being a big-time Cubs fan. And he has a lot of remembrances as well. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to weigh in on your thoughts on Sandberg, maybe an interaction that you had with him, just about his life, 319-366-1600. And Isaac, as I think about this, you know I'm not a Twins or a Cubs fan. I'm a Twins fan. But I think Sandberg, I know, he is one of those players in baseball in this particular case, but I think there are others in other sports that, even though you're not a fan of his particular team, you respect him. And, you know, they say he played the game the quote-unquote right way. I really don't know what that means, but I know it when I see it. I think that's the best explanation because there's no criteria per se. I think it's hustling and making plays and being a good teammate and, you know, not showing up the other team, that sort of thing. I think you have those players not only across baseball, not many, but in other sports as well, whether it's football, basketball, wrestling, whatever it may be, that, you know, you just respect those players and admire what they do. And that's really my thoughts on Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I can't really, a little bit before my time, mm-hmm. I'll say, but I can't really speak too much on that. But certainly I would agree, based off the reaction I've seen and other things I've read now, just kind of the impact he had and how he carried himself, the way he operated, things like that, certainly left a really... He's probably the reason why a lot of people are baseball fans, or maybe even Cubs fans specifically. You can't really overstate the amount of impact someone like that can have in a sport for a team, on a kid watching, stuff like that. You can't really overstate that impact. And I was trying to think of, you know, players across other sports I could compare it to. I know for me growing up, obviously I'm a big soccer fan. So mm-hmm. I made a, in my head, I was like Wayne Rooney, who's a Manchester United legend, an England legend, really kind of made me into a bigger soccer fan just watching him play. Now, he was a little bit aggressive, I guess is how I'll put it. But I think most people respected the aggression that he played with. It was like controlled chaos almost. He would lose his head every now and then, but that happens in any sporting event. And so, I don't know, you just kind of think of the players that had a big impact on a specific club, on a specific team. Players that you look across and you're like, man, maybe I don't love that he plays on that team, but I got to respect the output that he has out there, his play, the way he operates, and the way the a good ambassador for the game sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one of the ultimate tributes is parents named their kids after him, Ryan Sandberg. In fact, Ryan Sandberg was named after former pitcher Ryan Duren way back when, and maybe that's one of the ultimate compliments, but... You know, in terms of fans of other teams admiring and respecting a guy like Sandberg, I look at my own team, the Twins, and that's a Joe Mauer. That's a Kirby Puckett. Puckett died prematurely, obviously, and that hit me hard. But in terms of Mauer, he's one of those guys that, quote-unquote, played the game the right way, and he was respected. Not only among the Twins, but and I'm sure folks out there, whether you're a Cardinal fan, a Brewer fan, a Reds fan, a Rockies fan, whatever, you can appreciate Sandberg, but you may also have someone on your team that you know, is kind of like it is for me and Joe Mauer, in comparing to Ryan Sandberg. You know, I think there are people out there that, plenty of people that respected Sandberg's game and his character and the way he lived his life. But there are others in the game that, and you mentioned some, and again, it may be basketball, football, wrestling, what have you. 319-366-1600, if you can relate.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's guys who just kind of everyone agrees or sort of rallies around, especially unfortunately after they're gone. A lot of times when I see an athlete die, I always kind of, to me, the biggest athlete death that ever hit me, and because it was my time, was Kobe. I very vividly remember when Kobe passed mm-hmm. away. And again, I don't know if you can necessarily, he certainly had some off the court stuff, but I think by the time his career ended, people had kind of accepted his changes, I guess, as from a personality standpoint and who he was. And that, I think a lot of people who are NBA fans, that kind of hit a lot of people really hard when Kobe Bryant died, especially in my age range. And I don't know, I guess I don't know if that I could compare it necessarily to this, but I always think of him as the athlete death that really hit me hard. I'm by no means a Lakers fan. The Lakers tormented the Jazz a lot of times in the playoffs, but still, you got to look at what Kobe did in his career, how he did kind of come back from a misstep early on in the career and kind of change who he was and change his sort of procedure about things. And that's always one of my sort of bigger comparisons for my sort of growing up and people I watched.
I mean, you're right. When people pass, and we acknowledge those people on this show and elsewhere, I mean, you talk about Dave Parker passing recently. We just had the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies at which Parker was inducted posthumously. And he had his warts. But have you ever heard anybody say any, and I know you're not of Sandberg's era, but I can't remember anybody ever saying anything derogatory about Ryan Sandberg. I don't know how many players you can say that about. I think you can say that about Mauer, in my camp anyway. A couple folks weighing in on the text line, and appreciate that. 1776, not a Cub fan, but agree he played the game the right way. And 0151 likens, in our conversation anyway, mentions the name Jerry West. As you mentioned, the Lakers and Kobe Bryant. Jerry West was probably one of those players in basketball that Every time he and the Lakers beat your team, you weren't happy about it, but you respected Jerry West. And much the same way as Ryan Sandberg. I'm sure Bruce Sutter in 1984 and the Cardinals didn't really like Ryan Sandberg a whole lot. And that Rhino game, as it's called. But they certainly had to respect him.
Yeah, and getting some more text, this one from Cyclone Tim, saying Sandberg was different than a lot of second basemen at the time. I remember him as a pretty big stick when most of the second basemen at the time were defensive specialists. So, again, just kind of, I don't know, you never know the impact some player might have, mm-hmm. even on opposing teams just when you're watching. I'm just trying to think back to, like, players that, I don't know, you always have guys that kind of feel like they always have it out for your team whenever you play against them, but you just kind of like got to toss your hands up, be like, I respect
you.
Yeah, you just got to be like, all right, I mean, this is what it is like. I mean, you got to respect it.
I don't know. It's Cyclone Tim, thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it. It's it's an interesting a thing with the Chicago Cubs because as I think about Sandberg and his passing, I think about a lot of things, but the WGN influence for decades, I think, brought new Cub fans into the onto the bandwagon, so to speak. But it also enhanced the image and whatever of players like Sandberg. Back into the when WGN started back in the late 40s, early 50s, and they carried White Sox, they covered Bulls, they covered Chicago sports, but primarily it was that superstation, WGN, in the Midwest and then elsewhere that, you know, that was the one team you could count on seeing. And later as TBS with the Braves, I think a lot of folks, became Braves fans because, you know what? You could see him. You could see the players. You could see what happened on almost a daily basis. And, you had the game of the week back then. But it's not like today, obviously. But so many platforms, watching MLB Network before I came to the studio, watching the Orioles and Blue Jays. I couldn't have done that back in Sandberg's day. And I think it's wonderful today that there's so many platforms, whoever your favorite team is, especially in baseball, you can access them. But that wasn't true back then, and I think Sandberg and others benefited from that. Not to take anything away from him as a player and a person and whatnot, but that was something, the WG influence was really beneficial to players like him and the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny to think about now where everyone's kind of complaining about blackouts with MLB specifically, how everyone complains, but it's easy to kind of be like, well, it's better now than it was, than it used to be. I think there are certainly, MLB is shooting itself in the foot with some of the blackout stuff, because why not make your product as easily accessible as possible for as wide a base as possible? But at the same time, it could always be a little bit worse. And there's ways around the blackout restrictions and stuff on top of that as well. But it is interesting, like, I know there's a lot of, I believe there's several Braves fans in Iowa, and part of the reason is because of those superstations and how they kind of were able to change how things were consumed for, your average everyday person, and they actually have the ability to watch whatever team they may want.
Yeah, who remembers, I know you don't, but who remembers running home after school to catch a Cub game that was on WGN with probably Harry Carey, but if you're old enough, Jack Brickhouse, whatever, WGN had it, and that was a treat. And once again, I think that was one aspect of the Cubs that, contributes to their enormous fan following. And and I think we always look for this local angle. And Sandberg passed through these parts as he was a manager for Peoria in the minor leagues. In fact, he was Midwest League Manager of the Year. And I know Jeff Johnson of the Gazette covering the Cedar Rapids team, and I'm sure Todd as well, crossed paths with Sandberg. And described him as nothing but a terrific guy and accessible and whatnot, which is what you want if you're a reporter. And actually, he had a lot of success in the minor leagues as a manager. I think a two-time, he was manager of the year in Iowa at AAA. Not so much success when he became manager of the Phillies. That's a whole different step. But another aspect that you don't see too often, former players of Hall of Fame caliber managing in the major leagues.
Yeah, and continuing to get some more texts, feel free, again, if you have any stories that you'd like to share, if you're a Cubs fan and want to describe the impact he had in your opinion, feel free to text in 319-366-1600. Another text from 0945 saying Tristan Wirfs will be that kind of player when he retires. Certainly, again, it's hard for offensive linemen to kind of have that impact, but I think most people have seen the athletic, insane athletic prowess that he has as a tackle, but also it seems like he is pretty well brought up and seems like he kind of has his head in the right space there as far as all that goes.
Who is not on your team but you respect enormously? 319-366-1600. And I know that's a broad topic, and maybe Sandberg is one of just a few, but I think he definitely was that sort of player, and I think Cub fans will tell you he was probably the subject of probably the best trade the Cubs ever made. When he came over from the Phillies with Larry Boa for a guy named Ivan De Jesus, and the rest is history. And I know some of the Phillies were, at the time, you know, Sandberg was a 20th round draft pick out of high school, and you know, those type of players need development and whatnot. And, you know, is he really going to be that good? Is he, you know, he didn't always play second base. In fact, he went to second base, I believe, when Ron Say was acquired by the Cubs, and Say played third base, and Sandberg moved over to second permanently. But, you know, trades, and we're going to hear a lot of them. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred about them here at the bottom of the hour, and trade deadline looming Thursday. A lot of moves probably will be made, maybe not, I don't know. But as far as the Cubs go, this is one that worked out pretty well.
I do want to ask you about the trade deadline real quick, just while it's on top of my mind. Do you feel like, and you'll be able to speak more accurately on this, so for a little background, I do like baseball, although this is the first year I've really been in on being a Tigers fan.
Mr. Tiger fan.
Yes, so it's the first year I've really been dialed, all the way dialed in, and very lucky that this has been the year for me to be dialed in. But maybe you can speak more effectively on it. Do you feel like the trade deadline has maybe lost a little of its shine? It's not as eventful as it maybe was several years ago, or as it used to be. I know Todd's been talking about this, and he kind of points to the fact that the playoffs have expanded, so a lot more teams think they're in, and they feel like it's worthwhile to actually make a push rather than sell off some of those pieces.
It's always a gamble, and I just feel that, and again, we're, you know, a couple days away from the deadline. A lot can happen between now and there, and there's been a smattering of trades already that we'll talk about some of them with Cal Eldred, but I just get the feeling right now, you know, that you know, it hasn't been all too active. The Yankees have made a couple moves. Your Tigers picked up
a couple relievers.
My Twins pitcher, actually two Twins pitchers. Hope that works out for you. But
they're like bottom of the rotation guys. I don't think they're. We'll see how it works out.
Chris Paddock was really good against the Dodgers, but that's all I can remember about his Twins career. But in answer to your question, I think I get the sense that it is slow, but maybe that's the nature of the trade deadline as well. Maybe it'll pick up a lot, and that will probably reflect teams that think they're still in it in the wild card chase. A Texas, which is right in the thick of things right now. You know, Boston, which is having a really nice season and squarely in the what about the Reds? You know, teams like that, you know, are you satisfied with where you're at right now? You have to look at the future as well. You know, plenty of players like the out there, like, you know, the Royals just signed Seth Lugo to a contract.
Yeah, a couple years.
Rather than him go into the trade market. And I think the Royals feel that, along with Bubic and others who's out for the season now, I think they feel that maybe not this year, but long term. And so much goes into it. Money goes into it. Salaries go into it. Control goes into it. And just the belief in the front office and across particular organizations, whether you think you're going to be a contender this year. And I think a lot of organizations strive for immediate success and then maybe sacrifice the future.
Yeah, I just sort of also feels like maybe the mega deals are kind of done, where like the superstars, the mega stars are kind of like, or like the trades from absolutely nowhere. And maybe that has more to do with how things are reported now, because there's 24/7 coverage and everyone kind of constantly is dialed in on some of that stuff, so nothing really slips through the cracks like that. But it feels like maybe some of the mega deals for major stars, kind of that era, maybe just a little, it feels like it might be over. I don't want to say over, but those trades are going to be fewer and far between.
Speaking of superstars, I want to get to this before the bottom of the hour. And I also want to bring up a text from 7575. Who can relate? Brett Favre in Green Bay, coming from a Vikings fan.
Maybe certainly during his playing days. There's been some recent stuff that maybe has lost a little bit of Favre's shine, but...
Speaking of superstars, and this is a guy I really like, Bryce Harper in the news for basically trying to kick Commissioner Rob Manfred out of the Phillies locker room, the clubhouse, and using an expletive, and maybe Manfred exchanged expletives with him, according to some reports. But apparently Manfred went into the Phillies clubhouse and wanted to talk about salary caps as we talk about the collective bargaining agreement in Major League Baseball. And of course the players union wants to have nothing to do with that.
Yep.
The Major League Baseball is the only major sport without a salary cap, but the players don't want it. And evidently Bryce Harper didn't want to hear about it. And my reaction was, okay, Why do you react like that? Why do you react like that? You know, if your boss or corporate headquarters comes in and says we want to talk to you about this idea, are you going to tell him to get the out of the room? I don't think so. I just thought it was curious behavior from Harper.
I kind of thought that he was trying to send a little bit of a message across the league. Trying to make, because I don't think the players union is quite as strong now as it was maybe 20 or 30 years ago. I don't think they're quite as ideologically aligned, but maybe Harper is trying to sort of rally the troops. I guess how to say it, like, this, we are standing on this one. Like, this one is not going to pass. If they propose any sort of salary cap, we are prepared to strike. So again, I don't want to say that a work stoppage is imminent, but it certainly feels like the sides are very far apart based off of this interaction. And so I thought maybe Harper is trying to send a clear message to not only Manfred, but also the rest of the players, saying this will be a hard line for us. And I guess we'll see what happens next year, because the CBA isn't done until after next season. But it feels like we may be in for a semi-ugly sort of negotiation or battle here.
I don't think Ryan Sandberg would have handled it that way.
Probably not, yeah.
And it kind of, maybe not apples to oranges, but maybe the way the WNBA said as much on the shirts they wore at the All-Star game in terms of their negotiations. That's a story for another day, but there's ways to handle things and there's ways not to. And perhaps Harper read the room. And he felt like he wanted to represent his teammates and did what he did.
Yeah, and again, the last time salary cap was brought up was 94. That was the last time Major League Baseball made a big push. And, I mean, if we can talk to Cal, he would be able to effectively talk about 94 with us. But just for reference, that was the last time Major League Baseball really tried to implement any sort of cap. I'm not saying that's what will happen, but it feels like there might be something ugly brewing in the next negotiations.
Bottom of the hour upon us. Let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. Emil's, the classic local American restaurant located on First Avenue East behind Johnson Fitness. Great food, great drinks, great staff. Open Monday through Saturday at 4 p.m. One afternoon game in Major League Baseball today. Laffer in Toronto as Baltimore defeated Toronto 16-4 in the first of a doubleheader. Baltimore set a Major League record with 5 sacrifice flies in that game. Iowa football has announced that its annual Kids Day will be Saturday, August 9th at Kinnick Stadium. Gates will open at 10 a.m. and practice will begin at 11. Former Cedar Rapids NASCAR driver Landon Castle will make an appearance at Hawkeye Downs in Cedar Rapids tomorrow night, driving his number 7 sports mod. It will be Castle's first Hawkeye Downs appearance since 2017, when he drove friend of the show Mark Ironside's late model. Finally, Colorado football coach Deion Sanders has entered into a partnership with underwear brand Depend. Yesterday, Sanders and his doctors announced he was cancer-free after undergoing surgery for a bladder tumor. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk baseball with Cal Eldred right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have sunshine with some clouds passing through here and there as we go through the rest of the day. Temperatures are going to be in the upper 80s and heat index values will be in the upper 90s. We'll then have some more clouds building in tonight and temperatures will drop down just to a low around 70. Showers and storms will be arriving after 4 a.m. and some initially could be strong with gusty winds and heavy rain. We'll have more rain through the day tomorrow. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Hi, everyone. Scott Unash from your neighborhood Quick Star. And they got some great specials going on right now. You can take advantage of them anytime during the day, early in the morning, noon hour, or on your way home from work. Bananas, jumbo onions, and baking potatoes, they're 29 cents per pound. Limit 10 pounds. Nature's Touch cheese slices, 10 count Colby Jack or cheddar, $1.99, limit 2. And great for grilling this summer, Quickery buns, hamburger, brat, and hot dog. An 8-count pack, 2 for $2, limit 4. And Urge chips and popcorn, assorted varieties, 5 to 12-ounce bags, 2 for $4, limit 4. And when you stop on by anytime during the day, use your Quick Rewards app to order and take care of your payment ahead of time. Your orders can be picked up in-store or brought to your car curbside at any time of the day. When you stop in at your friendly neighborhood Quick Star.
Hi, I'm Stacey Dayball, your branding specialist with KZIA. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, it starts with a conversation and a transformation. I'll sit down with you one-on-one to uncover what makes your business unique and build a strategy that tells your story in a way people remember with our proven transformation system. We don't just advertise, we build your brand, your voice, your future. Let's make your business unforgettable. Schedule your meeting with me today at KZIA.com under the Transformation tab.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long, proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
A SoFi personal loan is here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk the tightrope of your finances with one low, fixed-rate monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. Pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891.
You've probably heard of speed dating, but what if there was something similar for hiring, especially if you're running a growing business? There is ZipIntro from ZipRecruiter. You can post your job today and talk to interested qualified candidates tomorrow. Simply select a time and ZipIntro finds and schedules qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you'd like to connect with and meet great people through back-to-back video calls starting as soon as the next day. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sports.
Welcome back. It's that time again. Time for football. And we've teamed up with Hertine and Stocker Jewelers to give you a chance to win and celebrate the return of football. This right now is your next chance to get entered to win a $150 gift card to Hertine and Stocker and a men's Hawkeye watch. So right now, go to kgymradio.com, sign up, and enter today's keyword. That word is huddle, H-U-D-D-L-E. Go to our website, kgymradio.com. Your entry also puts you in a national multi-station contest where you can win $5,000. You'll have more chances to enter daily during local programming, and the local winner will be announced August 27th. Right now, a real winner for us, Cal Elder, joining the program. Afternoon, Cal.
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
I'm well. Toweling off, but I'm well right now. So much to talk about in baseball, and that's a good thing. Let's start off with the news last night. Certainly sobering, but Ryan Sandberg passing away. And I love to do research, you know, Cal. And near as I could tell, you faced him and the Cubs once in the last time the Brewers, last season the Brewers were in the American League, but you did play the Cubs in 1997. Walked twice and reached on an error. Maybe not that particular game, but let's talk Sandberg.
Well, you know, obviously, the walks don't surprise me, Mark. I watched him play so much as a kid. I was like, I'm not going to fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. And I was obviously young in my career at that point, and I was falling into enough traps of my own. But, you know, it's sad for me. I feel for his family. I feel for that Cubs organization because, you know, he epitomizes the type of player that I would idolize especially just the way he went about his business. And, you know, I've read some quotes that he had, and he talked about how he was always had his head down working and maybe even didn't, you know, recognize how popular he was with the fans or the impact he had with the fans. But as he was retired and they were retiring his uniform number and he got to spend more time with the fans, he realized what an impact he had. And he had that kind of an impact on young high school kids like myself and then eventually someone who was an opponent. He just went about his business the right way, and he did it so well. He brought the power to being a second baseman and still being able to play the defense, and just was very, very, a very extremely smart player.
Isaac and I talked earlier about the meaning of playing baseball the quote-unquote right way, which all intents and purposes Ryan Sandberg did. What does that phrase mean to you?
Well, to me, the longer I played professionally, the more I think I understood that. And I do think that the definition would be a little bit different with today's player. But when it comes down to on the field, there's a little more flamboyancy put out there. There's a little, you know, it's easier to I guess, well, for showmanship. And I think they do that today. But I think there's a lot of players that do that, but they do play the right way. In other words, they're a really good teammate, first and foremost. Two, they take care of their own business. In other words, they work, they take care of their craft, they come and they carry their load every day. And when they show up, they make everybody better. And Ryan Sandberg was the type of guy who not only made them better on the field, but made players better in the clubhouse and I'm sure off the field. And he was a coach's dream because the more he played, the more he coached and helped players. And to me, that's playing it the right way. There was you never felt like he was ever trying to show anybody up. He was just trying to be as good a player as he possibly could, and he played extremely hard.
Well, I wanted to ask you about my Detroit Tigers. They've had some struggles, is how I will put it, recently. What have you made of the Tigers' struggles? They obviously traded for a couple pitchers, yesterday. What have you made? Because I've been watching them, and it feels like the non-Scooble starts have gotten pretty rough at times. What have your impressions been?
Well, I think you're right. I think the big thing is that you're right in the fact that when Scoobal isn't starting, I think there's a little nervousness with the Detroit Tigers, maybe in their clubhouse, I think with their fans a little bit. But you really look at where they're in the standings. They've still got a 9-game lead. You've got, players that are getting healthy on their roster. To your point, they add more pitching, and I think that's really good for them. I wouldn't be surprised they go out and add a bat to their lineup, too. I think this first half, everything just kind of went their way. The close games went their way. But yet, they played aggressive, loose baseball. And I think that's what they need to continue to do. And if they can do that, they've gotten so far ahead, they're going to be very hard to catch. So if they do that and they play up to their capabilities, I don't think they have anything to worry about.
Cal, let's have you look at the AL East, because it's very interesting in my mind. You've got Toronto, and I think I said earlier the game was in Toronto, was in Baltimore, but Baltimore clubbed them 16-4 in the first of two. But Toronto has played very good baseball. The Yankees now without Judge for a little bit of time anyway. Who knows if he's going to come back as a DH, maybe play some first base. I don't know. Boston lost a tough one to the Twins last night. Tampa Bay is still in the wild card hunt. And this Baltimore team may be the spoiler in the group. I don't know. But how are you looking at the AL East right now?
Well, I think you look at the AL East, and, when we were choosing teams, Mark, back in the beginning of the season here, I liked Toronto a lot. But you kind of hate to leave New York out of that. And I like Boston. And Boston started off really bad. But I think you're starting to see the American League East look more like what we thought it was going to look early in the year. And meaning that, one, Baltimore's starting to play better. Tampa, they're Tampa. I mean, they're streaky, and they just don't go away. So you got to look at Tampa and Boston with New York. Here's the thing. New York has a decent schedule both in August and September. But when you take Aaron Judge out of that lineup, that's going to be very tough. And if he comes back and he's the DH, you've got to decide Judge, Stanton. Are you going to put Stanton in the field? I highly doubt that's going to happen. So they're going to have some things to work out. But, you see them go out and they trade for Fetty and Carrasco. They're trying to make sure they have as much depth as possible with their pitching. And I think they need it. But, man, Boston – They have a decent schedule the rest of the way out, and I think Toronto has a tougher schedule, so it's going to be fun to watch. But I think the American League East, Mark, is back to where we thought they probably would be.
Obviously, you have a great race going on in the NL Central, but I wanted to ask you specifically about the Brewers hitting. I know you guys probably aren't great analytic fans, but every advanced analytics says that the Brewers shouldn't be great at hitting this year. They have a very high ground ball rate. They hit the ball really soft. The exit velo is not incredibly high, but it doesn't seem to be a major factor for them. Do you think the Brewers, do you think this is a fluky sort of hitting streak, or do you think this is who they are? And because of the speed that they have, they can continue to have this sort of style of play when it comes to the hitting the ball?
Yeah, I think, Isaac, I look at the fact that the Brewers manufacture runs. They remind me, and Mark's going to know this, they remind me a lot of the Minnesota Twins in the past, where they, what they have to stay away from are strikeouts. If they don't strike out and they put the ball in play and they run the bases like they're capable of, they put the ball in play, they can get two bases at times when other teams are only getting one. But they also have to hit behind runners. It's manufacturing runs. And to your point, it's analytically, a lot of times that's just not sexy. And it doesn't show well. But I think they have to keep doing that. They have to keep taking really, really good at bat where they're fighting with two strikes if they get to that, and take what the pitcher gives them, especially in situational hitting.
I think as the page turns to August here in a couple days, Cal, one team you really got to watch, at least I'm going to watch, is the Texas Rangers. Not only in the AL West, just a half game out of the wild card right now, and you know, rallying around Bruce Bochy. I don't know, but what do you think of the Rangers?
Well, I like their roster, and I think that you know, some of their younger pitching has pitched better of late. Their bullpen's been even better, and so, and the other thing is Seattle's been streaky. So you see that Texas is only a game behind them, but it took Texas winning 9 out of 10 to get themselves back in it. And I think, and I know Houston has done extremely well, but Houston can be caught. And you're looking at, you look at the wild card and you see where they're sitting. I mean, Texas is right there, and you've got teams. The Yankees could get pushed out of here if they can't figure out how they're going to replace Judge, and if he's out too long. That gives Texas an opportunity to use their offense. They're finally starting to hit the ball. They're starting not just to rely on the long ball to score runs, but they're driving the ball in the gaps, or they're hitting the ball the other way, manufacturing some runs, but they can still hit the ball out of the ballpark. So that's why I like Texas as a team. And I know that their last game, DeGrom was pitching. They didn't win that game, but it's really nice having him in that rotation.
I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on the trade deadline overall and how it operates now. I asked Mark this question just a couple minutes ago, or 10 or 15 minutes ago, but do you think that it's really changed, and that the sort of age of superstars being dealt at the deadline, is that kind of done at this point? Or do you think that right now there's just not very many teams are willing to sell, and it's just kind of a year-by-year thing?
Well, I think the moves that are easy to make are some of your, like, you have so many teams needing pitching and relief pitching. And so you have some of these guys that you know, or even position players that are kind of going to be guys off the bench. They're kind of rental players, whether they're relievers or position players. And I think those are the easy deals. Those are the deals that we see the most of, that, like I mentioned, the Carrasco and the Fetty, who are basically going to be backup fill-in guys for the Yankees rotation and possibly their bullpen. But when you start seeing, oh my gosh, is Eugenio Suarez going to be traded? And I mean, Arizona's going to want a lot for that guy. They're going to want a ton. You're going to see, you know, some of them. If Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins, they're going to want a lot for him. And so I think that's what's so hard for these teams to be able to go and give up some of their prospects for that. You have to have a deep minor league system, and that also has to be part of your plan going into the season, knowing that you're willing to trade some of the prospects that you're trying to develop for a guy that you need at the trade deadline. So I think it really comes down to what plan did this organization or each organization have once they got to this point. But there are some teams that could really use Suarez, Ryan O'Hearn from Baltimore, there's no question. And we've heard Luis Robert Jr.'s name over and over with the White Sox. But Dylan Cease is a guy, and Alcantara, they're kind of right up there with the starting pitchers that are eligible. And I know, Mark, we talked last week or a couple weeks ago. I think Mitch Keller gets moved. And if – because he's a guy that they can hang on to for a while. And that's somebody that teams are more willing to trade for.
Mark Dukes and Isaac Alzinga joining you today in the Gym Class with Cal Eldred, former Major League pitcher and coach. And, I think the Tigers could have benefited acquiring Keller more than Chris Paddock, but that's just me.
I was pushing for it. I do want to say I was pushing for it on air. I wanted Keller there.
I don't blame you, Isaac, because I agree with you, Mark. I think you look at what Mitch could bring to that club, and now all of a sudden you've got – Mitch can pitch like a number two behind Skubal. There's no question in my mind, especially with the team that's going to score him some runs. He gets with a club that gives him a one or two or a three-run lead, it's going to be a breath of fresh air for him. And he's going to be re-energized with that playoff atmosphere. Isaac, you better make some phone calls, because I'm telling you, you're right. He'd fit well in a Tigers uniform.
I'll see what I can work up. I do want to get ask you about the recent news with Bryce Harper and Rob Manfred. They had a little run-in in the locker room over there in Philadelphia. after the idea of a salary cap was floated. Now, you can effectively talk about 1994 and 95 a lot better than we can, but I wanted to get your impression. Do you think this is still going to be a major sticking point for the players' union, even though, in my opinion, I said the union may not be quite as strong now as it was 20, 30 years ago? It seems like this may still be a really big sticking point if MLB and Rob Manfred try to push it.
Well, I think I understand Bryce Harper's response. I understand how the players and the union, how they're going to respond to the talk of a salary cap. And I think that it's even though the players' union may not be seen as strong as they have been in the past, I think if the commissioner, who's actually supposed to be somewhat of a go-between between owners and players and the union, starts talking about a salary cap and especially in a favorable tone, then I think you might see the players' union get even stronger than they are right now. I think today players realize that they want to be able to make as much money as they possibly can. I think with the if you look at all the luxury taxes, there is a sort of salary cap. It's just still tough because there's a lot of teams that aren't able to be able to spend as much money, and some teams think they can't hang in there, and it's not competitive enough. Yet those teams are taking home money that has been brought in by the licensing money or by the money that's the luxury tax. And so money is being distributed to those teams. So it's something that I think it may actually strengthen the players' union if they're going to talk about a salary cap.
Cal, of course, 2 days away from that trade deadline, and I want to ask you, as a former player and as a former coach, what's going through the minds of everyone right now? The players that are rumored out there, everybody can read. Social media is so prevalent these days that you can hardly avoid it, although I know some players try to do that. But everyone knows who's maybe traded, who might be traded. You're looking out on the field, boy, this might be my teammate's last at bat in this uniform or his last inning pitched. What's that dynamic like?
Well, it's hard for the coaches, and what happens, guys, there's 2 months of baseball left. And for a team to say we're looking towards the next year, that becomes difficult from a coaching standpoint to keep players motivated, to keep them focused on being better as a team and not just an individual. It's really hard to do that. And the front office would like to think it's easy. It's not easy from a coaching standpoint. It's also, you're looking around the clubhouse as a player, Mark, and you're looking at your teammates and you're thinking, well, our front office has decided we're playing for next year. And there's players in that clubhouse who are going to be free agents. And what it becomes hard because you see players that become selfish, more selfish, and teams don't play as a team. That makes it hard. That's the difficulty about it. If you're on a team where they're adding players, or you're one of those players that are going to a team that is trying to make the playoffs, it's just easy to play. You're very motivated, and you're looking around at, man, we could get this guy, we could get that guy. But once again, even on that side, the players want to see the front office, the ownership, to spend the money or make that deal that actually gives them an opportunity to make the playoffs. So there's, and especially with social media, man, there's a lot going through coaches, players, and front office people's minds. Not only that, but the training staff and the clubhouse. There's just a lot going on right now.
Twins deal, Joe Ryan, I'm not going to be happy, Cal.
I wouldn't either. Oh, man, if I'm a Twins fan, I want to see that guy signed. He's figured out. He's gone through injury. He understands how to pitch, and he fits. He's a Twins kind of guy.
It'd be fun to watch the trade deadline and the races here, Cal. We'll talk in a couple weeks, okay?
That sounds great. Enjoy the baseball, fellas.
Thanks, Cal. Cal Elder joining us, pitching former player and pitching coach, Major League pitching coach, joining us every couple weeks here. Speaking of baseball, Game 2, Cubs and Brewers tonight on 1600 ESPN. Pregame 6:05, first pitch 6:40. Maybe a word about that with a guy who's going to join us after the break.
John, what are you doing? Get in my car.
So why are you walking to work?
Thanks, man. It's these insanely high gas prices. They're draining my bank account. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Dude, don't walk. Just do what I do, because I never pay full price for gas anymore. I use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Oh, wait. You're telling me you get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code REFUEL for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code REFUEL. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code REFUEL for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code REFUEL.
Welcome back. Spencer on Sports coming up from 4 to 6. The man himself, Spencer Wagon, here. What do you got going on?
Lots to get to on the show today. We'll talk some baseball. Plenty to get to there. We'll preview Game 2 of the Cubs and Brewers tonight. Like you said, just before the break, 6:05 the pregame, 6:40 first pitch. We'll take a look back at what happened last night. Trade deadline. I just saw one between two teams that are playing today, the Orioles and the Blue Jays, making a trade. Minor trade, not a huge trade at all. We'll get to that and keep on watch for that. If you got fantasy football questions, giving folks out there an opportunity to get some pre-draft questions asked and answered with Matt from DraftSharks.com at 4:30. He'll be live on the show. And if you have questions, 319-366-1600. Happy to get those answered for you coming up in about a half hour.
I don't know if you saw it, but position player coming in late for the Blue Jays and throwing 35-mile-an-hour Eves pitches. That's what you have in baseball.
Right, yeah, when you're down 16-4 or whatever it was, that's bound to happen, right?
Yeah. Looking forward to it, Spencer. Thanks.
Yep, you bet.
Coming up tomorrow, nothing. We'll be off tomorrow for the final game of that Cubs-Brewers series. We'll bring it to you here on 1600 ESPN. Consequently, Caddy Smack with Brian Haas and Scott Unash. We'll have that on Thursday. And Friday, we'll be off again as the Cubs are also on the air, Isaac.
Yes, worth noting, Scott will be back on Thursday.
Apparently.
Not that you haven't appreciated my presence or anything, but I will let people know Scott will be back.
I've appreciated your presence and your input. You play the game the right way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
But looking forward to the rest of the week. Of course, the trade deadline, so much happening there, and a lot in baseball. Football coming up Thursday as well. We'll have it for you, 1600 ESPN. Lions and Chargers, the seasons converge. And I'm loving the heck out of it. Isaac, thanks so much.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Talk to you in a couple days.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan, featured products, or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness.